As most of you probably know, today we will be installing a new deacon. And the elders have requested that I preach a shorter message today on humble service, or what it means to be served. And after the invitation, we will then have that little ceremony. And afterwards, Brother Earl will go with me to the back, and we'd like everyone here in the congregation to welcome him as a deacon here in this congregation. And therefore, I will not this morning obviously be speaking on Philippians, and I won't be tonight either, but I'll get back to that next week. And as I thought about what I could say on being a servant, and the different texts that came into my mind, and the different stories in the Bible about servanthood and so on, I thought, what could I address? What could I say? And then suddenly I realized, what better example of humble service do we have than the time the Son of God washed the feet of His disciples? This amazing event is recorded for us in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John. I'd like you to open your Bibles to that passage as we take a brief look today at verses 1 through 20. First of all, I want to read verses 1 through 4. And I titled this section, Jesus Knows Some Things. Jesus Knows Some Things. John 13, 1 through 4. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and they had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. Jesus knows His time, verse 1, that He is going back to the Father, and He loves His disciples fully. Jesus knows of Judas, but still loves and serves him, even to the very end. Jesus knows of the league between Judas and Satan, verse 2. Nevertheless, watch what Jesus does to Judas on this evening of which John writes. Jesus knows of the Father's favor, verse 3. That the Father gave all things into the hands of Jesus, and that since He had come from the Father, He is returning to the Father. Knowing all these things, Jesus prepares to serve. Verse 4. God in the flesh laid aside His outer garments, takes a towel, and girds Himself. Did I just use the words God and towel in the same sentence? Yes, I did, because John does, essentially. I know he doesn't use the word God, but from the first 12 chapters, he's been showing us that that's who Jesus is. He is the manifestation of God in the world. And this God takes a towel and puts it around his waist, and he gets ready to serve his disciples. Rather than the other way around. What are the disciples thinking as they see this going on? By the way, I have to get something in from Philippians. Because as I came across this here, I was thinking of Philippians 2, 3, and 4. What is written in Philippians 2, 3, and 4 certainly has to have the foot washing of Jesus for his disciples behind it, or at least a good reason for doing what Paul said to do. What does Paul say there? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And that's Jesus in John 13. Now back in John 13, verses 5 through 11, Peter does not know. Let's see what he does not know. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. Deity washes the feet of humanity. Verse 5. The Creator kneels before the feet of the creature. What are the disciples thinking? Judas is not moved and raises no objections as Peter did. However, Peter recognizes his unworthiness, verses 6 through 8, because he recognizes the worthiness of the man who was at his feet on the floor. Jesus explains why there is a need for a cleansing. Verses 8 through 11. His actions are symbolic of the spiritual state of his apostles. 11 of them are clean. The 12th is dirty. Now verses 12 through 17. Do we know? 12 to 17. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Jesus asked a question whose answer is too obvious. Verse 12. So the true answer is deeper and spiritual. Here is what we ought to know. That we give humble service to one another. Verses 13 through 15. If the teacher does the work of the student, if the Lord does the work of the slave, then what shall the student slave do? Have you noticed in the scriptures that Jesus only asks us to do what he has already done? When I played high school football, I know that all of my coaches played football in their day, but there was one, Coach Dunn, who during practices would do the calisthenics with us, he would run with us, he would sprint with us, he was an old guy, probably in his late 30s or early 40s. And he would do this stuff. And so when he told us to do something, it meant more to us than if it came from the others. And that's Jesus. He's already done it. He does it first. Jesus is greater than we are. Verse 16. Yet if he can serve, so can we, so must we. Therefore, he who refuses to serve actually claims to be higher than Jesus Christ. We are happy if we do what we know. Verse 17. Now, the simple observation is that Jesus washed their feet. Okay, what are you doing, Jesus? Well, you're washing the feet of your disciples. But what he wanted them to do was to think further about who, as far as his rank is concerned, who washed their feet. Moreover, he signals to them with these actions that one of them is truly not one of them. He teaches that humble service, whether foot washing or some other form of lowly service, ought to characterize his students, his followers, whom we call today Christians. Now notice in verse 15 that he says, they or we are to do as, that is similar, as he has done, not necessarily what he has done, which would be exactly the same thing, although if the need arises, then that certainly would require it. We fulfill the Lord's wishes when serving our enemies, remembering that he washed the feet of Judas, whom he knows in just a short amount of time is going to betray him. We fulfill the Lord's wishes when serving at inconvenient times, remembering that he was about to be betrayed. You want to talk about a time when it's inconvenient? We fulfill the Lord's wishes when serving, though it is someone else's duty, remembering that he is the Lord. We fulfill the Lord's wishes when serving, in a dirty job, remembering that Jesus washed the dirty feet of his apostles. Verses 18 and 19, Judas no longer knows. "I do not speak concerning all of you," Jesus said. "I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he." Since Judas no longer knows, he no longer serves. Verse 18. But symbolically lifts his heel against Jesus as though he's going to kick him. Imagine that. Raising your heel against the Son of God, the one who's going to be on the throne of judgment, in a little while. Jesus alerts them to this sign in verse 19, which is a prophecy. It will also remind them that he washed not only their feet, but the feet of his betrayer. And now we end with verse 20. "Let us serve even as Jesus served. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." Do others reject or accept Christ because of me? Do others see a servant when they see me? What would you do, or what would you have done, if you had been with Jesus and his 12 apostles on that night when they were in the upper room, and you have this meal, and suddenly you see him get up, he takes off his outer clothes, and he takes a towel and girds himself, and then he comes to you, and he has to get down on his knees, and he takes your feet and gets them wet, and with the towel he's washing them and drying them. Are you ready for this, Christian? Listen to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 records Jesus making an awesome promise to his servants. Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? If you faithfully serve him and his people, hear what he promises to do to you personally. Now, I want to emphasize that. For example, the Bible says that Solomon built the temple of God. Well, he had it built. Now, how much Solomon really got in there with his own hands and built the temple, I don't know. But he had it done. We know that he hired tens of thousands of workers to get it done. But what I'm about to read to you right now from Luke 12 is not talking about Jesus hiring someone else. He is not commanding someone else to do what I'm about to read. Jesus Christ himself will perform for you, his servants, what I'm about to read. Luke 12, starting at verse 35. Jesus says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching." Now here's the sentence I want you to get. "Assuredly I say to you that he," the master, referring to himself, "will gird himself," and I'm going to add this, "again, and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Are you ready for the Lord to serve you? This is a promise to all faithful servants of Jesus Christ. God bless our deacons and our new one today who have given themselves to service. All Christians are servants, though deacons are set aside as special servants. Do you see what you're missing if you're not a servant of Christ? Be one today. We could add another servant of Christ by adding a new Christian to the body of Christ. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're ready to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins and to be dedicated as a servant of God, come forward right now as we stand and sing.